The next one of the attributes is known as Shimosh Chachamim, serving or attending to Chachamim, to our teachers. There is much in Chazal, many, many sources, that very dramatically describe the significance and importance of this midah, of this trait, of being shamish, our Rebbeim, our Talmid Chachamim. Perhaps most directly, the Gemara in Brachos, Dav Zayin Amud Beis, which tells us the name of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Gidola Shimusha Shel Torah, Yoser Milimuda. Being Meshamesh Talmid Chacham, Shimusha Shel Torah is even greater than learning, based on a proof text from Elisha, who in Tanakh is described as Asher Yotzak Mayim Al Yidei Eliyahu, and as the Gemara infers, describes him pouring the water, but Lamad Lo Nemar El Yatzak. What's the greatness of Elisha? How he served Eliyahu, not the Torah that he learned from Eliyahu. Malamich Gedola Shimusha Yoser Milimuda. And even if we assume, as Mefarshim do, that it doesn't mean Shimusha alone, but Shimusha plus learning. Not clear that that's what the Gemara means, but even if we assume that, nevertheless the Gemara would still be striking. Perhaps the greatest example of the importance of Shimush comes in the person of Yehoshua, where in the Tanakh we are told multiple times about Yehoshua's greatness being described specifically because of his attendance and his service to Moshe. Shmos Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yehoshua is described as U'misharso Yehoshua bin Nun Na'ar lo yomesh v'toch ha'ohel. He was Masharis, he served Moshe, and he was a dedicated servant and attendant at that. Lo yomosh mitoch ohel. Later in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chav Ches, Yehoshua is described as Yehoshua bin Nun, Masharis Moshe. That's his title. He is the servant, the attendant of Moshe. And again, when we meet Yehoshua starring in his own book, the opening Pasuk, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, and Sefer Yehoshua, we are told that after Moshe had died, Moshe is described as the Eved Hashem. But then the Tanakh specifically describes Yomar Hashem Yehoshua bin Nun, again, who is? Mishareis Moshe. Yehoshua bin Nun, Mishareis Moshe. And therefore, it is not a surprise, although it is still quite poignant and dramatic to read, the words of Chazal in Bamidbar Rabba, Parsha Kafalef, which describes the appointment of Yehoshua. And it's particularly poignant because the Medrash here describes how Moshe specifically asked Hashem if his children could inherit his position of leadership, if they could succeed him. Certainly a natural instinct and desire of any loving parent wanting to pass on as an inheritance, as a Yerusha, that which they've achieved in this world. Sometimes it's material goods, but in this case, what Moshe cared most about was the leadership of Klal Yisrael, and I think it's only natural that he had this desire. And yet, the Medrash tells us, despite his plaintive plea to Hashem, "Bedinhu shiyarshu banai es kavodi," that he makes a compelling argument that his children should inherit him. Nevertheless, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it will not be your children, but rather Yehoshua. And why will Yehoshua succeed you? The Medrash continues, "Harbe shereitcha v'harbe chalakocha kavod." He honored you and he served you tremendously with a great, great devotion. And then the Medrash is specific in detail. Hu haya mashkim u'ma'ariv beis havad shacha. He was up early, stayed up late at night in your beis medrash, in your home. Hu ya masares asaf salim. Hu pares as hamachtzalos. He took care of the pillows and the beds and the couches and the chairs and he set up the classroom. Ho'al v'hu shereischa b'chol kocho. Since he served you with all of his might and all of his power. Kedai hu shishamish es Yisrael. He shouldn't lose out. He gets his due reward, his just deserts, and he will be able to misharis, to lead the mishamish, to be the leader of Am Yisrael. So Yehoshua is described both in Tanakh and Chazal as having many attributes, but his most choice attribute, what he eventually merited being the successor of Moshe, was because of his shimush, that he was misharis Moshe. The Gemara in Brachos, as well in Mem Zayin Amud Beis, as well as in Sota, Daf Chaf Beis Amar Aleph, also makes a striking statement, Afilu Karav Ashana even someone who learns, whether it's Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebaalpeh, he learns a lot, but lo shimesh tamir chachamim, but he was not mishareis tamir chachamim, hareze am haaretz. He's still an am haaretz. It's as if his Torah is worthless. The Gemara in Sota actually not only states that, but then adds two other possibilities, which are even worse. Either he's a boor, or a kuti, someone who cannot even be trusted for trumos and maisros. So despite all he has learned, but lacking the element of shimush tamir chachamim, again, Chazal very emphatically and dramatically state a fundamental flaw in that person. And perhaps last but not least, just as an example, obviously there are many more Mamari Chazal and Makorot in Rishonim and Achronim we could quote, but for our purposes, a last thing to quote is an amazing statement of discussion in Tosfos. Ksubis, Dav Yud Zayin, Amar Aleph, where the Gemara tells us, Mavatlin Talmud Torah L'Hotzas Ameis. Sometimes you have to close the Gemara, leave the Beis Medrash to help with a burial, especially with someone who does not have people to otherwise take care of him or her in this terrible time after a person has passed away, if there's no one else. So Mavatlin Talmud Torah L'Hotzas Ameis. So Tosfos there quotes that the Braisa in Masechta Derech Eretz describes the beginning of Rabbi Akiva's career. Ami Rabbi Akiva, Tchilas Tashmishai Lifnei Chachamim, in the beginning of my learning career when I got started, and we know Rabbi Akiva got a late start. In fact, he was walking down the road, the Tosfos quotes from the Masechas Derech Eretz, and Matzasi Meis Mitzvah, and I found someone who was abandoned by the road. And in fact, in Itpalti Bo, and I was very involved in it, and he walked 4 mil, Rabbi Akiva states, until he was able to bring him to the cemetery and he buried him. But then later when he went, he told what he had done, Lefnei Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Yeshua, they told him, Al kol psiu psia kilu shafachta dam naki. He was guilty on every step he took, leaving the Beis Medrash as if he killed somebody. In other words, a very severe castigation for his bittul Torah of leaving the Beis Medrash and spending all this time burying the Meis Mitzvah. So that seems to contradict directly our Gemara that said, yes, mevatlin Talmud Torah, lotzas ameis. So Tosfos first gives one answer, but then the end of Tosfos, they quote a second answer from the Ri Mikubriel, who says amazingly, Tahasam mishum debitel atzmo meshimush tamidei chachamim, ka'amar degadol shimusha yoser milimuda. Our Gemara in Ksubis is talking about just closing the Gemara. For that, hotzas ameis, if there's no one else who can do it, that chesed is even more important than the learning, close the Gemara. But in Rabbi Akiva's case, what did the Braisa say? Tchilas tashmishai lifnei chachamim. He was apparently at the time not necessarily learning with a book, but learning from his Rebbeim. He was being mishamesh tamid chachamim at that time. He left the shimush tamid chachamim to do the kfuras ameis. That, says Rabbi Mikubriel, that's what the Braisa was stating. That's what his Rebbeim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua were telling him. That was a mistake. Because godol shimush yosra milimuda, even things which can be mevatel, limud haTorah, will not say mevatel shimush chachamim. And again, without paskening one way or the other halacha of maisins in a rare but potentially practical case, but certainly the lesson and the impact that this formulation and this answer of the Ri Mikubriel should have on us, I think, is really quite telling. And that really raises the second issue for us to discuss, and this is the main point with which we will forge ahead and then conclude this year, which is now that we've established, again, with only a sampling, I think a representative and a significant sampling, but only a sampling of the statements in Chazal and in the commentaries about the greatness of being Mishareis or Mishamesh Tamid Chachamim, and we've seen that abundantly clear. The question is why? Not all these sources make it clear at all. What is so important about it? Why isn't the book knowledge sufficient? So for this, I think there are a number of different approaches in general sources as well as in the Mefarshim here in Pirkei Avos. So for starters, the Medrash Shmuel, here in our Braisa and Perek Vav of Perkei Avos, says that by being the Shimush Tamid Chachamim, and not just listening well and being a diligent student in the classroom, you can forge a more permanent relationship. It's not just an arai, a haphazard or temporary relationship with the teacher when class is on or not, but not when class is off, rather a more permanent relationship. And therefore, even during downtimes, you can learn something from the teacher. Of Yaakov Emden in the Lechem Shamayim, as well as Baruch HaLevi Epstein and the first explanation he offers in the Baruch Shamar, also make this point that when you're hanging around the teacher above and beyond the classroom, you'll observe all of the teacher's hanhagos, their actions, their behaviors, even in non-strictly Torah or even not necessarily strictly halachic matters, even in matters of what they call derech eretz, just the life lessons and the observations that you can make by being in close contact and observing and serving and attending to a great person, you can learn many, many things that have nothing to do per se with Torah or per se with halacha, but you can just learn about life. You can learn about derech eretz in every sense of the word, from the way they act, the way they talk, how they interact in public, in private, with their family members, with strangers, etc., etc. And of course, the linchpin of this, as the Mefarshim quote, is the statement in the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chaf Aleph on the Beis, Afilu Sichason Shal Tamid Chachamim Shichan Limud. That even the casual conversations of Tamid Chachamim should be studied, because even these casual conversations have what to teach us. And the way I understand these commentaries, they understand that Gemara is not saying that hidden in every conversation, you know, pass the salt, and by the way, didn't you know that the halacha is. Not that you will just get Torah in these casual conversations, but even the non-Torah, truly casual conversations and truly other activities and other parts of a Talmid Chacham's life has moral, ethical, and otherwise life lessons for a person to learn. So that, I think, is the first approach about what is so important about the Shimush, which you cannot get from the Limud. The Tiferes Yisrael here on the Mishnah, Os Ayin Ches, says that when you're doing the Shimush, Yilmod Mima'aseihem Harbe Mihalocha Lamaisa. Now, he may mean the same idea that we've seen a moment ago, that you'll learn from their actions all sorts of practical life lessons. But he also may mean something a little bit more strictly halachic. When he says the term halacha lamaisa, he may mean it in a sense that is, I think, more clearly enunciated by Reb Chaim Volozhiner in the Ruach Chaim, who again, also quoting this Gemara in Sukkah, but here, the way Reb Chaim Volozhiner understands that idea is that you can learn from them, since in their conversations and other activities, yisbayer lo kama inyonim b'torah. In other words, when you're dealing with a truly great person, a true chacham, there is no downtime. Torah will always come out. You know, harkens back to Rav Soloveitchik's halachic man. Everything the person does, everything he sees, every comment he makes is some way a reaction to an interpretation of halacha. And therefore, there really is no such thing as Devar Rishus or Mili Dechol. There is no downtime. Even this, what seems like Sichas Chulin is not Chulin, but rather things which can be, as Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, Inyonim Shel Torah, or as the Tiferes Yisrael says, Mehalacha Lamaisa. So I think that is using the same Gemara and Sukkah, but the way I understand these commentaries, giving an important but slightly different interpretation. Third idea comes from the Maariv Tzchius in the Gemara and Brachos on Dav Zayin, where he quotes from the Vilna Gaon, and this idea also is found in the Baruch Shamar in his second explanation, that we're not referring to Stam Shimush. Until now we've been speaking about attending to and observing the Rebbe, the Chacham, in everyday, so to speak, actions, non-learning scenarios. But they say it specifically meant Shimush of Limud, that is to say, seeing the learning in action. It's one thing to just have the book knowledge, to hear the Rebbe say a shiur about Hichos Shabbos, for example. But if you're Mishamish, the Rebbe, if you go to the Rebbe's house for Shabbos, and you see the Rebbe makes Kiddush, you see the way he benches, you see the way he doesn't choose the silverware or something like that, or how he takes the soup out of the pot, etc., how he makes tea on Shabbos, etc., etc. Seeing that, the Shimush Salimud, that will have a far greater impact on the person even than having heard Shurim about those very activities. The Meiri, already on that Gemara and Brachos, may have this in mind or something slightly different, but basically this in mind when he says that the greatness of Shimush is that it will help the Maleches Hora'ah. It helps you know how to paskin, and it'll help you know how to decide halacha when you see the Rebbe, the Chacham, actualizing the halachos that you might otherwise have been able to learn in the classroom, but seeing it actualized is a whole other level of clarity. Fourth, the Maharal here in the Derech HaChaim suggests what I think is a fundamentally different approach than everything we've seen until now. The Maharal, I think, as I understand him, not always easy to understand the Maharal, but as I understand him, unlike the previous interpretations which focused on the ability to learn new information or understand with greater clarity the theoretical things you had learned, the Maharal focuses, I think, in a slightly different direction. He says there's a difference between learning from a Rebbe, learning the Torah of the teacher, and his Hiskarvus al HaTalmid Chacham bi'atzmo, The greatness of Shimush is that you can make a personal connection with the Rebbe. There's a chibur elov, as opposed to when you're just teaching, just learning from the teacher. It's that personal connection, says the Maral, which will be mashbia alav esa Torah. And the way I understand this, I think the Maral is, as he did in many other areas, very much foreshadowing an insight that mechanchim and parents have gained with greater clarity in our generation, but the Maral may have been ahead of us, and that is that you can't compare the learning that a student does, no matter how good a teacher the teacher is, when there is no personal connection and when there is a kesher between the Rebbe and the Talmud. The Rebbe-Talmud relationship is something that I would imagine virtually, if not literally, every yeshiva now focuses on. Of course, some yeshivas do it better than others. Some rebbeim do it better than others. But it would be hard-pressed to find almost anybody, certainly any young mechanchim, but I think almost any mechanech, any Rosh Yeshiva now, who has not understood, if they didn't previously, the need for the chibur, as the Maral refers to it as, the hiskarvus al talmud chacham atzmo. It's not enough just to say a good shir, but there has to be a connection between Rebbe and Talmud. And it's not that in that connection, in that downtime, in those casual moments, you'll hear a good vort, as we saw previously, or you'll see the way the Rebbe cuts his challah or pours his tea on Shabbos. It's not that at all. It's that the same shir you heard, you'll take it more seriously. It'll be mashpi on you. It'll go into your heart more when you have had a connection, and the connection is made outside the classroom. The connection comes from the Shimush Talmid Chachamim. So it's not, as I said, like the other previous commentary said, new information that you'll get through the Shimush, rather the ability and the impact of the, quote, old information, Torah you were getting anyway, but Eino Doma, the Torah you get from a Rebbe you have a Kesher to one that you do not. Last but not least, I would like to, in closing, share an amazing interpretation that is quoted by Rav Shimon Shkop, the great Rosh Hashiva of Grodno, in his monumental Sharei Yoshar, in the introduction, where he quotes an incredible interpretation from his brother-in-law. He actually starts by quoting a rather bizarre Gemara in Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, which states that when Rabbi Chisda asked Rami Bar Chama a certain halachic question, and Rabbi Bar Chama responded, first you should be Mishamish me, first you have to do something for me. The Gemara says that Rabbi Chisda folded Rabbi Bar Chama's handkerchief. And I'll read you the words as they are cited here in the Sharei Yoshar by Rav Shimon Shkop. So really, in first glance, this makes no sense. Bashkafa Rishona Matmiya. What's going on here? Hem Rabbi Bar Chama Darash Mimeno Tzura Kazu Shel Shimush Poshut Ubazui Kekricha Sudar. He asked him just to fold his handkerchief in a way to embarrass him, to demean him. What is a power play by the Rebbe? What is going on? So he quotes the name of his brother-in-law, that rather it's a completely different idea, nothing to do with that at all. Rather, the inyan hu, shebadavar shetzarach iyun v'yagia toli ikar hadavar, when we were talking about real learning, high-level learning, and obviously here, Rabbi Rachama was being asked a very complicated halacha question, but more broadly, when we're talking about real in-depth learning, that type of learning, it all depends, says Rav Shimon Shkop here, quoting his brother-in-law, what's the ikar? What does it mainly depend on? D'im ha-mislamed ma'amin v'ma'alas ha-melamdo. Does the student believe in the talent and the qualities, the special nature of the Rebbe? Oz im lo yavin b'rishona, because if the student truly believes in and trusts, perhaps the best word, trusts and believes in his Rebbe, then even if they don't understand, even lo yavin b'rishona, if you don't initially understand, yidlach yisar ba'atzmo, you'll say, it's my fault that I don't understand, and you'll work harder to understand, and you'll keep on working at it, v'oz yavin b'achrona, eventually you'll get it. Avlim divrei hamalamdo kalim beinov. But if you don't really take the Rebbe so seriously, you don't have that implicit trust and belief in the Rebbe, v'lo shavalo l'hisam itzlamo behem, you're not necessarily going to work hard to understand the Rebbe because you don't believe in the Rebbe so much. If you don't really understand it initially, you'll either leave it at that, or even worse, you'll reject it, but you won't really work hard to truly understand it. And this, he says, is what was going on in the Gemara. Once he saw that the question was a really deep one, it would be complicated, lo rotzo lalamdo ad she yisames belibo shavchanina mishtokek lihislamed mimenu Talmud Meirav. What a beautiful formulation. He didn't want to teach him this complicated lesson until it was clear, totally true in his eyes. He understood completely in his heart. Rav Chanina was mishtokek. He had this tremendous thirst, this desire to learn, to be his Talmud, to learn like a Talmud from a Rav. Only when he did this act, he showed how dedicated he was. He was even willing to do this act of folding his handkerchief. Then he then understood that he was truly willing, Rabbi Chanina was truly willing to be Machania himself, to be totally Mevatel himself, to totally trust in the Rebbe, to be dedicated in to him. L'chein lo limdu hadavar at sheshima shoso ketamid l'rav. Really a remarkable, remarkable interpretation. And here also, I think, again, like every idea, I share this with you for thoughts to ponder, but I think there's a tremendous kernel of truth here. And that is the need for the belief in and the trust in the Rebbe, especially as we get to higher levels of learning and more complicated information and more mature issues. And perhaps in our generation, and with good reason, there are certain people who have a certain suspicion or mistrust sometimes of Rebbeim, and it is true that it has been in the past, and it certainly Chas v'Shalom could be in the future, a Rebbe who abuses this and uses his power over his Talmidim in the way that at first glance it looked like Rami Bar Chama was doing. But I think that while we have to always be on the lookout, unfortunately, for teachers who take advantage of students and need the adulation and the worship of students, and it's a power play, etc., these things exist and they're tragic and they have to be rooted out. Nevertheless, I think, certainly in my experience, this is certainly the exception, not the rule. It is very rare, and the opposite, I don't think, unfortunately, is always appreciated. It's become a casualty, in a certain sense, in our generation. That is that people are jaded, and there's far less willingness to truly trust, to truly buy in to the Rebbe. I think this, you know, relates to, obviously, other things that we've seen about the Doma Rebbe Lamal Hashem Tzavakos. You have to do your diligence to find the right teachers, the right yeshiva, the right Rebbeim. But if you can find those who are truly not in it for themselves, not in it for the honor or the kavod, but truly because they want to be a link in that Masorah and give over the Torah, if you find the right type of teachers, then their lack of need for power or adulation, in a certain sense, the way Chazal tell us, they're borech min kavod, it's not about their personal kavod, then I think as Talmidim, the more we are dedicated to them, the more we trust them, and are willing to mimakabel them as a Rebbe, I think that really makes a difference. And I'll conclude with a personal story without getting into the details, but I once had a certain dilemma, which, not to exaggerate it, but certainly at the time was an important question. And in retrospect, how I decided that question, I could have gone either way, and it would have impacted certain things, really, maybe even to this very day. I would have been on a different path, perhaps. And I spoke at the time to my Rebbe, to Rabbi Rosenzweig, and he had particular advice on the issue. But I have to say, initially, I didn't really understand. It wasn't really so compelling. And I actually went back to him a second time, and he explained it again, explained his position again. And he added, Kedarko b'Kodesh, that he wasn't imposing his will on me. He wasn't saying I had to listen to him. I could still be a student of his if I didn't listen to him. But I came to him, asked him his opinion about this life decision, and he told me what he thought about this hashkafic, so to speak, issue. And I remember sharing a short while later my dilemma with a friend who was also a Talmud, Rav Rosenzweig, and he basically told me he was in a similar situation, but he said he realized that there are times in life where you just have to decide. You just have to choose. You know, whose side am I on? Whose team am I on? In other words, if you're going to truly be a Talmud, then there are certain cases in which you just have to say, I'm willing to trust my Rebbe, I'm willing to trust his judgment. And the second I heard that from my friend, I knew what he was saying was true. I was upset that I hadn't thought of it myself, and I made the decision to follow what my Rebbe had said. Not only do I feel that that significantly enhanced my relationship with my Rebbe, but in short order, and certainly every year since then, the wisdom of his initial decision and his initial advice and recommendation becomes truer and truer. Chacham Adaf Minavi. It was one of the best decisions I ever made to actually just follow and trust my Rebbe's advice and his particular position on the issue. So this particular insight quoted by Rashi Mishkab rings very true to me. Again, can these things be abused? Can you have Rebbeim who are imposing and looking for that adulation, and sometimes even extreme cases demeaning their Talmidim? Yes, you can, and those are people who probably do not deserve to be Rebbeim. But in most cases, when we have truly sincere, pure, motivated, and great Rebbeim, then that ability to trust them and to totally buy in, to become a Makabel, to become a Talmid, that perhaps is the element of Shimush, which is being indicated here, and is truly an essential part of anyone's kinyan, the Torah.